Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, season 4, episode 42. I am Jake. With me is Mike.
What is up, everybody? And joining us, as always, is Ben.
I gotta say, I liked your intro better last week.
Oh, shut up.
There was no life in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no life. Yes, I have returned. I'm back. Glad to be here for another wonderful week of the show. And we will get things started with video games. And I have played not too many different video games, but I've played a lot of the ones I've had. So I'll start with the one I beat. And that's What the Golf on Apple Arcade / PC. That game's a lot of fun. I can't say that honest, in all honesty, if the year ended right now, it would be on my top 10. Like, no joke. That game was a fucking really good time. I still... It's like $20 on PC. I don't know if it's worth $20 in all honesty. And I don't think they've even announced consoles a release for it, like, if ever. But on Apple Arcade, it's definitely worth the $5 or 1 month free entry for that game alone, because it was a lot of fun. It's hilarious. It's just so damn funny. For a game
How do they charge $5 on Apple and $20 on PC?
Well, I guess it's... Technically, since it's part of Apple Arcade, you're paying a subscription, and I'm guessing Apple probably went around throwing money at all these developers and be like, hey, be exclusive to Apple Arcade, and we'll give you a fat paycheck. And so they're like, okay, and then we'll still sell it on PC for $20. Yeah, a lot of the games on Apple Arcade still are available elsewhere, like that Sayonara Wild Hearts is like on Switch and PC, but it's also on Apple Arcade. But there are a handful of games on there that are strictly
Gungeon isn't now. Is it
like Gungeon, right? Yeah, Gungeon is currently only on that Apple sucked. Arcade.
Do you think that'll ever come to
yes, because they've okay. Like when people have talked to them directly about it, they've been kind of coy, and it seems like a lot of like a hey, we can't talk about this until a certain amount of time has passed
exclusive, but
I feel like
now.
They'd be crazy
okay.
to not put that elsewhere, and I feel like they
that
have
screams
to,
Switch
yeah.
game.
Yeah, I feel that's gonna be everywhere whenever that window of exclusivity closes. I feel like that's gonna be everywhere. I mean, Devolver and Dodge Roll alone, I don't think they're going to try to hamstring themselves to one single platform for their games. So, yeah. Still haven't tried that game out. I've been kind of winding down my Apple Arcade time since I believe I have about another week and a half before this trial runs out. And I'm still kind of on the fence. I mean, it is only $5, so maybe I'll just let it lapse 1 month just to see what else they have out there. But after that, I'm probably done with Apple Arcade for the foreseeable future, because there's not really much else on there that's caught my interest, at least.
Definitely got your money's worth. Played a lot on there.
Yeah. I mean, for the sheer amount of games, like I said before, you get 1 month for free, even if the month wasn't free. Like, if I would have had to pay $5, I would not have feel cheated at any rate. For the sheer amount of games you get, it's a ridiculous deal. And it's, I think, a huge step in mobile gaming being legitimized and not just filled with a bunch of like gotcha garbage, and having like actual quality titles on mobile devices. It's a really refreshing thing to see. Next up, we have Monster Hunter World. I finally finished the base game, so I can start Iceborne soon. Yay for me. Wow, the end of that game is fucking hard. Oh my goodness. Like
you're talking about the tracking the three monsters or the final big guy?
We'll go in step. So I probably have picked like the literal worst place to stop playing that game when I stopped like a year and a half ago when this came out. I stopped at Nergigante, which if you're familiar with the series, like that boss sucks. Like that's pretty much like the entry to the end game is fighting him. So after like many failed attempts, I finally got some help thanks to Andy and was able to take that down, which opens up a trio of enemy bosses you have to fight, which wildly varied in difficulty, which is weird. Andy gave me some forewarnings. He's like, all right, this, you know, this one's not too bad, this one's
the wind one is the worst.
Yes.
Right,
Kushaladora. Yeah,
Kushaladora.
Yeah, that
Tessalatora.
Was I took out of the three, I think Andy helped me with two of them, one being him and the other one being Teostra. And then forget what the third one was. That was the one I was able to solo, and I was like, yeah, that one was a joke. And then so after getting through all that, then there's the final boss, which was surprisingly easy. And again, Andy
incredibly
gave me a hint being like, that boss, after beating those three bosses, this will seem like a walk in a park. And
it's
it was.
A joke. Yeah, it just takes a long time.
Yeah, so this is how my trajectory of that fight went. I not even paying attention to the clock, because I don't even know – can you even check your clock time, like, in the midst of a fight, or do you just kind of have to know?
I think somewhere, and then once either it reaches way. A limit, it gives you, like,
yeah,
a
you get the 10
heads
minute
up.
I know you get the warning at maybe at 30 minutes, too, but I know you get a warning at 10 minutes, because this was how it. I was fighting him forever and ever and ever and ever, and I'm just like, I was getting some really good hits in later on. I'm like, I gotta be near the end of this boss, and then...
You weren't solo, were you?
Oh, yeah, I soloed him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
So it got to the end, and then he had this, like, I don't know if it was rage mode or just bad luck, but he went on this, like, 2 to 3 minute tear of just, I couldn't get a hit in, I couldn't get away to heal, and he carts me. So I get back to the fight, and as soon as I drop in the arena, I get the 10-minute warning. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I am not about to time out on this boss. So I get ready. I put all my buffs on, my armor buffs, my attack buffs, blah, blah, blah. I run up to him, hit him once, he's dead. I'm like, son of a bitch. So I wasted a bunch of materials at the end for nothing. But either way, I finished that fight, and that basically, now that Iceborne already exists, like, you have to talk to a bunch of people, a shit ton of stuff not even Iceborne related. There's a whole bunch of quests that open up just from beating the end of the base game. And then,
yeah, now you're in post-game where they introduce right. all, like, the tempered stuff. Mm-hmm. And kudos to you, by the way, for doing that solo, because... Yes, I agree with you. It's an easy fight, but doing that alone took you the entire time. I mean,
oh, yeah.
As a group,
I mean,
it still takes like 25 or 30 minutes. I can't imagine doing that shit alone.
It was very, very, and I'm a bow user. I don't know how someone that's okay. not a ranged attacker could easily take down that fight, because it's a lot of you have to keep your distance, because he sprays a lot of fire on the ground. So it's a lot of
keeping, I did my
distance from him, and he flies around a lot, so I could see it being
the flying sucks. Yeah. That's where the bow really right. I mean, I was hammering, just hung out at it. I treated him like, what's the boss in, is it 1 or 2, where you go up and you just meet the dragon, like, sitting there, and he's not hostile until you start fighting him.
Ancient dragon,
Souls.
That's in 2.
Ancient, right. So, like, I just hung out at his feet and smacked him around.
Yeah, that,
and then when
I
he
mean,
did,
I was
like,
doing
the
that
pools,
a lot
I would have to leave.
As a bow user. Even as a bow user. But I was saying, like, for solo purposes, I feel like bow helped
oh, yeah.
me out a lot. Because I was able
imagine.
To keep attacking him while keeping my distance. Because otherwise, yeah, he probably would have got my ass beat. So... Right now, I'm kind of meddling in the post game because I feel like I kind of want to see a lot of that content before I jump right into Iceborne. So I've been kind of picking away, doing random, like, optional quests and just kind of focusing on upgrading some of my gear and trying out different weapons, because I know once I start Iceborne, that's probably going to be a whole nother, like, investment of time. So I'm kind of just tinkering around with that game in the meantime. Which takes me to the third main game I've been playing, and that would be Destiny 2. Yeah, this is where we're at. When
who would have thought you'd be the one to jump in?
When I tried
to get you into it 2 weeks ago or a week ago when we played, and you're like, "Nah, I'm fine."
Well, that sent like the spark in my mind, and honestly, it was like the Doom being delayed was like one of the big pushes, because I looked at kind of like my calendar for the rest of the year. I'm like, okay, at this point we have Death Stranding and Star Wars. Like, that was the only two games on my calendar for like the rest of the year. It's like, I'm not even like 100% sold on either of those. Like, I could there could easily be a possibility where I don't buy any new games for the rest of this year. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I got nothing.
You're fooling yourself.
I'm just saying, like, it's not a guarantee. It's not a lock. Like, Doom was a lock. Like,
that's fair. No, that's, I'm amazed Death Stranding's not a lock.
I don't. I, you know, I still.
You need to see reviews. You actually like. I don't care. The game could get a 4. I still want to experience.
I say, yeah.
It.
I don't.
You bought Tony Hawk, dude.
Yeah. But also, we'll get to other reasons why I could wait, is like the fact
that's
that fair. Control just showed up at my doorstep for $30. And
right,
like, well,
yeah, yeah.
I can
right.
be patient yep. and wait until... I don't
and
know,
Black Friday's coming.
Yeah, and then once we look at 2020, it's like games don't really start coming out until like February, March. So like late
there's
February,
nothing in
March.
January?
Not at least that I can think of off the top of my head. So
you're probably
like,
right.
There's a window of time where it's like I can slow play some games and wait for good deals.
Final Fantasy.
Like that, which is March. That's the beginning of March. So there you go.
No, 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 no. I mean jump in to 14
oh.
with us.
Yeah, that's no. Because I want to play other games, and I know that's going to be.
He missed the boat on it. There's no way he could jump.
I play other games. No, I play a ton of other games.
But where I would have. I'm.
No, that's fair. It's fair.
How many days in Final Fantasy 14 do you have? Like 100.
20.
Just 20. No, I have like 13 or 14. Honestly, you're better off waiting for this upcoming patch when they overhaul 1 to 50, yeah. And then if you do want to jump in, it'll be a lot better.
Like, in all seriousness, like, my game for next summer. Like, that's definitely in my head is like a, shit, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and by then there'll be a ton of new content that we'll be willing to do. But yeah, Ben, that's what 5.1 is. It's the overhaul as well as the near thing. Yeah.
So anyway, back to Destiny 2. I was someone that owned, obviously, the base game and then the first year of DLC. So as far as what I got for free, I didn't really get any actual brand new content. They give you pieces of... Forsaken, not any straight story content, but you get the Black Armory Forge. You get all the what's really cool with New Light is all of the areas you have access to. Like, I can go on the moon right now. I can go on the Tangled Spire. I think that's what it's called. I can go to the Dreaming City. Like, I have access to all of that. So right now, buying Forsaken would only give me the story quests and a handful of exotics and access to the raids. Which
I'm surprised you're doing that before... what's the new one?
I was going to call it Shadowbringers. Shadowkeep. There we go.
Everything's Shadow now.
Everything's
Shadow now. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't purchased anything. So I was doing a lot of back and forth because there's a lot of people in this position that I am. It's like, okay, I've seen all of the base game content. Do I buy Forsaken? Can I skip it and go right to Shadowkeep?
You can skip it. I've heard.
I hear a lot of back and forth. It's like, honestly, it's like you can skip Forsaken because they took out like the stuff like the Forge and like the social, like the actual areas you can visit. Like, they took the majority of the good stuff out of Forsaken and gave everyone access. And Gambit too, that whole like PvP VE mode, which is actually really fun. So I'll get back to that shortly. But so they
yeah, I have some questions for you once you're done.
The best stuff out of Forsaken. So it's really like if you want to play through the story in Forsaken and do the raids, which for $25, like, I don't know. I can wait for it to go on sale, and who knows? Maybe next year they'll just give that away for free. But I haven't made any actual purchases into the game yet, so I haven't done any of the Shadowkeep content, which people have been saying is good but really short, which also gives me pause because it's like, again, I'm playing by
myself.
That's
the MO of Destiny.
Well, it's true, but the thing is, like, I'm playing by myself, and obviously a lot of these things end up with just doing, like, raid runs and shit, and it's like, well, I'm not really that interested in doing the raid runs, and not to mention they give you all the strikes, like, are available to me. Like, I'm playing Shadowkeep strikes, I'm playing Forsaken strikes. Literally, it's like Forsaken, where the only thing they're gated is story missions, the raids, and exotics as well. So new exotics are gated to owning Shadowkeep.
But the new armor's not, right?
We're brand new. I'm still running. Yeah, I'm still running brand new strikes as well. Because, yeah, you have access to all Crucible content, all patrol areas, and all strikes are available to everyone, regardless of what version or how much DLC you own. That's available to everybody.
Even if we were playing with you and we were doing the raids, which would add on, you know, that much more content, do you really feel like, isn't this Destiny's MO where it's never really... It's made for the grind. It, like, people that stream it all the time are like, this is their main game. It's the grind that they're there for. If we're playing it to get through and get as high gear score as we can without grinding too hard, yeah, isn't that kind of the thing? We just went really hard when Destiny 1 came out and 2.
Fairly, I mean, I would say casually. It's like I've probably put in maybe 10-20 hours over the last 2 weeks. And Destiny 2.
What light level can you hit without...
I know the raid acts... To get into the raid is recommended 920. I think 950 is the cap, but I don't know how high you can get without doing the raid. Like, right now, I'm at an 8.6... Somewhere between 860 and 870-ish. Range. Like,
I've seen people at like 960. It's fucking nuts.
So yeah, maybe like with raid gear, like you can get over that 950 cap. But like I've been,
that's the idea.
I've been progressing through fairly quickly. Like I said, I'm already at like 870. And like I said, I'll see where this goes. I'm kind of waiting to make the purchase decision kind of once I kind of bottom out on everything I can do with this free game. Like if it's still really got my interest, I'll consider buying Shadowkeep. But like I said, there's enough to do with New Light, like with what this game is right now as is, like that I think it's worth looking into. Like I said, you get all the new patrol areas to do. Strikes are still fun. Like it's still Destiny, so it's still just fun to play. And there's a fuckload of quests, like the like weekly quests and things like that. There's a you just get buried in amount of optional quests you can do. Like I probably have like 30 different active quests right this second, just because
yeah, I had quite a few
across like Gambit and Crucible and Strikes and Patrols and. Yeah, like I'm having fun with it. I kind of like have the no risk since I don't have any current money invested in the game. Like I could fucking stop playing this next week and be like, hey, I had a good time with Destiny, or I could be playing this for the next 4 months. It's kind of just remains to be seen on if anything else can pull me away currently, but I'm enjoying it while I'm having fun. And as soon as it stops being fun, I'll stop playing it because that's kind of how I am with Destiny now. I don't feel the need to stick with it if it's not as fun as it was like way back in Destiny 1 days.
I think it's just a matter of getting more people to play it. That's always been my thing for Destiny. It was something we get 3 to 6 people or
yeah,
whatever to
like
run stuff and do
yeah,
things.
Like that's the whole thing. It's like getting like having to like get a raid group together. It's just like that doesn't seem fun. Like, I would do it, like, hey, if I was online and, like, hey, there's 5 people ready to run the raid right now, you want to do it, I'd be like, sure. But, like, trying to coordinate and, like, even seeing the a couple of the raids that we have access to that we haven't done when we, like, stopped playing, like, right after that first raid, there's some kind of raid dungeons that we can do. And even those, I'm like, that's cool if I see them, but also if I don't, I don't really care. Either way, I'm like content. So like yeah, raid like Warframe kind of broke me of the concept of doing raid activities. It's like I've playing all that Warframe made me realize it's not necessary to have a really good time playing a game like that. You don't need those highly coordinated 6 to 8 man team activities. And even like Division, like I've no zero interest even if I went back to that game to do any of the raid stuff, because it's always it ends up being just like a battle of futility and how frustrated can you get at this thing before you just like want to quit. And then the rewards almost never pay off for the amount of time.
You just got to learn the mechanics. I mean,
yeah.
We've said it before. We got down to under 1/2 hour on that first raid.
True. But
it took
like
a couple weeks, but
I'd
we got it.
But we sunk like 20 hours into that raid to get down
first,
to 1/2 hour.
That first weekend was disgusting.
Yeah, it's like always like, yeah, especially the, like when the raid first starts, it's like, okay, we're going to spend a lot of time on this for potentially zero payoff. Like there were, how many weekends do we go at the beginning of a raid and not finish it? And it takes us like a month before we finally...
Just that first weekend.
I'm just even thinking back to like Destiny 1. Like there
oh,
were
that
definitely...
one, it took us a few weeks to get
right.
The first raid done.
Like a couple of those raids, yeah. It's just like, well, all right. No, oh, it's a wash this week. At least we got some of the checkpoint rewards, but...
I don't think
clears.
We ever defeated... Crota was the second Crota. One, right? I don't think we ever defeated him straight up. I think we always did a cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even that, it's just, yeah, that's...
Oh,
that's,
we even cheesed the Vault of Glass the first time because we pushed What's-His-Face off the ledge with the Warlock Solar Bombs.
Yep, that was a thing. Or just everyone staying up top and sniping from, like, 1,000 years away. Like, that,
uh-huh.
Yeah, we found every... So, it's like, yeah, the raids are not what pulls me into Destiny. It's honestly everything else about the game that has held my interest. And if it comes down to, like, all right, all I have left to do is the raids, I'll probably just stop playing. And wait for whatever new content is coming.
That's what got me to stop playing 14 the first time. I got to the end, and it was just nothing but run the same dungeons at the end of the game just to try and bump your gear score up a little bit.
Like that's
not fun to me.
Exactly. If Destiny hits that point of just like, all right, all I have left to do is the weekly Nightfall and run the raid, I don't have... No, that doesn't... Yeah, like I said, I'm good. So until that point, I will keep playing Destiny and having fun. So we'll see how long it takes me to get there. But other than that, yeah, that's all my gaming for this week. Control literally just showed up at my doorstep today, so we'll be starting that very soon. Still have Ori to play.
I'm excited for you.
And yeah.
Yeah, Ori you definitely need to play.
I've been kind of holding off on that one because it's like I sort of haven't been in the mood to play a game like that, and I know once I start playing Ori, I'm going to want to play like all of it, so that might be like...
How long is that game? Is that a one sitting for you?
Oh, no, not one. I mean, not one sitting. I've heard it's like under 20 hours. Like, it's not super long.
Okay, so it's a weekend game.
If I put a whole weekend into it. So I'm waiting to get that itch, and then it's like, all right, I'm in, and I'll probably play through the whole thing over a week or a couple days, however much I get sucked into it. But, yeah. You said you had more Destiny questions. Are you satisfied?
I guess it's more, well, you kind of explained it to me this week when I asked you about the gear, like if we should delete all our old gear and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I guess it's more to the point of like, with first of all, I've heard that, although I don't know if this is just if you're getting started with Destiny for the first time ever, that the new light, the way it's presented is not great. Like, it's confusing.
No, it is not.
And
that is another thing. I played...
I'm so confused.
So, I originally played
before.
Destiny
I think this is more geared towards the new people that are having the complaints. But if Mike has a complaint too, then I want to hear it. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a real... Well, so I played through the main campaign of Destiny 2 as a Titan. And I didn't do it on my other characters. So, I already knew all the beats and everything of the story. So, how they do it in New Light is... You know how in the original Destiny 2 campaign you kind of did, like, you went from planet to planet in, like, order in, like, a very linear fashion until you got to the end, and then everything opened up?
Followed a story.
And now everything's unlocked from
the
get-go, right?
So everything is unlocked immediately, and you have access to all of the story missions at once. So the game just drops you in the world.
Do they give you...
Go wherever the fuck you want, it doesn't matter.
So I guess the question I have is twofold. One... Do you test missions to see if you're able to handle them or not? And if you can't, you back out. And or, does the game present you with the order you should be going in?
It does not give you any order in which you should be tackling the missions. And everything is listed at light level 750, which is what you start as. So technically you
That's
can
hilarious.
Tackle them in any order.
So they... they don't... ramp up in difficulty as
so
you
base
move
game so every base game story mission you're saying is
750
the
750
same. Because every brand
nothing
character starts at light level 7. That's the new low level. They got rid of the level 1 to 30. Like, that's all gone. It's only light level now.
No, that I know.
And you start at 750. Everyone starts at 750.
I guess the weird thing of that for me is, for a game that was so heavily on rails when people wanted it to be open world, and now they've kind of, I guess, turned it into people are complaining of the way it's... Maybe it's just presented poorly from what you're saying. It's just interesting that you can do it in any...
No.
There have been a lot of...
Get fed a story. You can't
I understand that.
Book and just start picking.
I understand that.
If you start a brand new character. Since I didn't have brand new characters, I didn't see that intro mission from what I've
heard. No, sure.
It's literally the Destiny 1 intro mission. Like, they put that in
The game. Sure, but... I'm just saying, like, the fact that they give you no direction at all, it's, I don't know.
I think they're trying to change
a lot of people are not.
Like, the narrative of the game, basically trying to be like, go everywhere. Like, I don't think they're trying to
give you
the mindset of, like, each planet has a level of difficulty and importance. I think they're trying to equalize the playing field, saying, like, everywhere is equally important. There's, like, no reason for you to be skipping over certain planets or zones. Like, everything is of equal importance. And, yeah, I don't know if necessarily, like, since I already played through the campaign with one character, that maybe if it kind of hints you in a direction. But it's literally, like, there's a quest that has a checkbox for each of the five main story quests. And you can check them off in whatever order you like.
I hope they somehow work in, like, it's just weird because if you go do a mission that was meant to be in the latter half of the story, how the fuck would it make sense to you of anything going on? I wonder if they, I don't know. I would be curious to see.
The cutscenes and some of the story.
Right.
Because I honestly don't remember, like, a lot of the story beats of the core Destiny 2 game. So maybe they reworked some of that as well.
Delete a character and start a new one. See what it's like. See what they do.
Yeah. It's cool. This New Light, I think, is very promising. Like the Battle Pass stuff is obvious. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
I like there's a free tier and a paid tier, so that's cool. Like I've been
free tier has like almost nothing, right? And then the paid tier.
I mean,
is
compared
good.
To the paid tier, obviously, like there's gonna be a discrepancy between the two. But like you get good stuff out of the paid tier, and it's you get double XP every week for the first five levels. Every week.
Oh, damn, nice.
So you can kind of fly through at least five levels a week with little issue. And then obviously
when
the
you,
main tier, there's like XP boosts and shit.
When you level up, what do you get?
Well, now you get a level in the battle pass. Like, that's your new level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so there's like an XP bar based on that.
Like, yeah,
okay.
Once your XP bar fills up, that is the season battle pass leveling up. And you get a whatever reward is on your next up on your tier. Yeah,
I'm
Destiny 2.
I have it downloaded, so
yeah,
I downloaded
you know,
it the other week
the itch,
when you mentioned it.
Fire it
so.
Up.
Well, I wanted to log in just to look around and see, because I know the UI is totally different, and so. But maybe if you're playing it more, I'll jump in with you and we can do like a strike or something, and Ben join too. Yeah, that'd be great. I would love to do it, the three of us, and
it's
do
fun.
Some strikes and stuff. And,
I always
like
Destiny.
I mean, it's still fun to
play.
It's still Destiny 2.
And it still probably feels amazing because
the
gunplay is so good.
Mm-hmm,
so yeah,
good.
Let's
and
do
they
that.
Have bows now, which bows feel great.
Let's do some of that in the next couple days or this weekend or something because I would love to play some Destiny. Because I'll move into what I've been playing, and that is more Vampyr. I talked about this a little last week, but I is very very surface level because I hadn't played a lot. I see why this game got a lot of crap. For $15, no worries. For $60, I would have been unhappy. I talked about this last week. The performance and stuff isn't great. It feels like a PC, early 2000s PC game, which is fine. It has all the jank, and I like that kind of stuff. I like when... I even said it last week when we were talking about it, Ben, where the character moves like a PC character. You know, you can feel that sometimes when you play a game. But it's fine, and like I said again last week, the dialogue is very, very heavy, which I didn't expect. Like, I'll spend 30 minutes in dialogue from one character to the next, and then once you get out of that area, you go do stuff. It's fun. I have a few complaints. So the leveling system, the way it works is you rest, and then you bank your XP into your skills. However, when you rest... anything you've done in the world since you last rested, occur, the consequences of those actions occur. So say you saved somebody that you're supposed to kill, or say you found something, or something in the district changed, or whatever. When you rest, that thing goes into effect. So a good example is if you save somebody, if you save a citizen, there's like citizen trees, and it shows all the available citizens in that, in the different areas, and they have side quests you can do, and you unlock clues, and the level of that citizen, like their blood level, which means like you, if they have the highest blood level, if you decide to feed on them, you get the most XP possible. I'm doing a pacifist run, by the way, like, I'm only feeding on enemies that I fight. I'm planning on not feeding on any human NPCs. However, from what I've read, the game really ramps up in difficulty late, so it's hard not to, because you get little to no XP doing other things that aren't like big events. And I'm playing on hard, where the XP is reduced even more because they try and push you towards that feeding. But it's cool. Like, the more you discover about that person, the more clues you unlock, the higher quality blood level they get, stuff like that. So, anyway, back to my complaint. So, they can get diseases. They can get colds and headaches and all this stuff because you play a doctor. And you make cures for that. And then you give them the cure and they're fine. So, say somebody had a headache and I cure them of the headache. When I go to sleep or when I rest and I level, that event is over, they're cured and they're on the mend and they're good. But if you're in a situation where you don't have that kind of medicine or you can't make that kind of medicine for somebody and you rest, it could progressively get worse. Or they can spread it to other people. Or, you know, so on and so forth. There's definitely negative effects. So resting slash leveling is a very delicate process. I'm in chapter 3 and I've rested twice the entire game. So I'm really like, now I'm at a point where I've reached some guys that are like 5 or 6 levels above me and I'm starting to have problems. So I think I'm going to need to rest again. Unfortunately, there's 2 characters that I found that are sick that are not in their designated spots yet because they're not, I haven't progressed far enough in the story. So when I rest, they're going to get worse. Well, they have the potential to get worse. So there's like a checks and balances system that's a very delicate line to walk. It's fun. It feels a little bit overwhelming sometimes and annoying only because like the point I'm at, for example, like I want a level so I can just keep progressing in the story. However, by doing that, I'm going to screw myself with some of these other characters. So those kind of things are tedious. There's a lot of loading, random loading screens. Again, it's 2000s PC jank. That's what you're dealing with. If you ever played an early 2000s PC game, those weird loading screens in the middle of conversations, the freezing, the freezing, and then just the game runs fine. And it's a lot of weird little things. And then the only other main complaint I have is the difficulty. I'm playing on hard, and there'll be points where I was a level 8, and I beat a level 18, no problem. Then I was like a level 12, and I got destroyed by a level 9. Like, the difficulty scaling is all over the place. And at first I was assuming it was because of the enemy type, because you can fight humanoid enemies, you can fight vampires, you can fight werewolf-style guys. So I was like, oh, and maybe it was just stronger or whatever. No, it's just everywhere. Like, that's why at the point I'm at with leveling, I'm not sure if I should actually level or I should just push through and just dodge the best I can and not take hits because it might just be this wall of these enemies that I'm about to face. And then once I'm past it, I'll be fine. So
it's like Dark Souls 2, where the difficulty is just literally all over the place the entire game.
Yeah, and they give you no real direction of like how hard things are. It's very much a guess and check. And it's fine because there's no penalty to dying. That's the first thing I'll say that's amazing about this game, especially for something where you're banking your XP and you're not using it until you sleep. Thank God you don't lose any XP because that would be a fucking nightmare. There's definitely times you get ganked in this game. But again, the story is very solid, very, very, very solid. The voice acting is very solid, as it better be because there's a fuck ton of it. The gameplay's fun. It's fun. it's fun.
Not very convincing. Look, there.
Sounds pretty
it's fun
to me.
The reason I'm playing it is because the setting, the atmosphere that they create is awesome. The music is great. I talked about that last week, like the long draws on the string. It's subtle piano. The music adjusts to the situation you're in. There's so many things about this game that are super well designed, and then there's others that are just like, yeah, we'll put some duct tape on that and it'll be great. Again, I was hoping for this to be Vampire the Masquerade, which it's not. The story and the dialogue and the character interactions are definitely there, but it's not that kind of game. And I mean, Vampire Masquerade 2 is coming out anyway soon. So I wonder if that's, did they say
just
if that's only coming
delayed.
To PC? I know it got delayed, but is that only coming to PC?
Let me look.
Well, if that does come to console, I'd love to play it. But overall, it's not a terrible game. I'm glad I waited until it was cheap. It's actually on the Halloween sale for $15, so it's the same price I bought it for.
PS4 and Xbox
copy.
One as well.
Oh, sweet.
There you go.
So I'll definitely play that game. Those were really, really fun. Again, it's not a bad game by any means. There's just a lot of jank. And if you are fine with that.
It's a good budget game.
It is. Just be aware it's super heavy in dialogue, much heavier than I expected. But yeah, good budget game, fun. I'll probably beat it by next. I think I'm going to try and beat it by next time. And then quickly, Final Fantasy, I'm at the end. I have literally one more mission to go, which is the dungeon slash primal. I just need to hit 70 first. And, yeah, so I'm going to finish that probably in the next day or two.
There you go.
And then it's push, push, push until
Shadowbangers. Baby.
Yeah, but you want to do a couple of the post-Stormblood stuff. Yes?
Well, yeah, I want to run Revenaster, man. I got to get my Final Fantasy Tactics slash 12
fix in. Oh, yeah, no,
100%.
Also, I don't know if I'm just going to call it Ghost Train. That's not what it's called. From Final Fantasy VI. Demon Train.
Doom Train?
Doom Train. Yeah, I don't know if that's... Is that post-Stormblood? I don't know if that's post-Stormblood or post-Shadowbringers, but we'll figure it out. But yeah, I'm excited to move into the latest expansion because all I've heard is it's amazing.
Yeah, it's up for, I guess, Game of the Year for Sony Awards.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be... for a lot of people, as just like, because it's, yes, it's an expansion, but you know how they treat those as like its own game.
Going to be on a lot of top 10 lists this year for how much praise I've heard it get.
And then 3 weeks from tomorrow, it's happening. Ooh. We're getting a Kojima game for the first time and a solo Kojima
game
without Konami.
Have you seen some of the early leaked impressions? Have you read? Are you going full dark?
I didn't even know there were. I'm gone.
It
fully
seems
dark.
Like
are they positive?
Yes, very, very. Okay. A lot of people like, oh yeah, this is a Kojima game, all right. And I've heard some like hour count numbers that are a bit ridiculous for what I expected.
Okay.
So
three.
I've seen a lot of the posts of like I'm playing it. I'll let you know how because I know the review copies went out. But like, I'm trying to think of any questions I would have that wouldn't ruin anything for me. Overall, people are pretty happy.
They seem to be like, it's, you know, it's a Kojima game. It's like, I have people like trying to be like, it's not trying to be something that it's not. Like, it's a Kojima game through and through. Like, so.
Isn't it? From what I'm hearing, it's trying to be its own, like, the first of its kind, right? That's
fine.
Like the.
I mean, that's what Kojima likes doing anyway.
Yeah, but.
He's always.
Yeah. But it's still you. It has his influence all over it, like as you would expect to
get.
Like, yeah. So people that love him will be very happy.
I'm all about it. And then from what the Star Wars, I don't know if they're they leaks or just.
No, there was a preview event, and I think they got to play like the first 3 hours of the game. So that's where all these impressions are coming from. Also,
the best thing I read. Yeah, the best thing I read was. This is not what we expected this game to be. It's like, all right, awesome. I mean, they even said, which is such a weird thing to do because the gameplay doesn't represent this. They're like, yeah, it's a Metroidvania where you backtrack a lot. Like, I wish you showed me some of that style gameplay instead of the fucking shit you showed.
You know what this honestly all stems from is Battlefront 2. Like, how much bad press that game got. I think it ruined, like, the Star Wars, like, IP, especially with EA's hand all over it. Like no one had everyone thought
yeah, like, I guess that makes sense.
Especially and then they were like, oh no, this game's coming out this year. Everyone's like, oh fuck, they're gonna rush this Star Wars game to get it out for the movie and it's
but
gonna be
trash.
But it's like, oh wait, this game's actually potentially really good. It's like awesome. It reminds
them of Sekiro doesn't surprise me because as soon as I saw that combat, I was like, oh, it's fucking Sekiro. Because like
very deliberate.
So I'm fine with that too. But yeah. Same. Star Wars, happy accident Doom got delayed. And again, I'm not the type of, I think all three of us are in this boat. We're not the type of people that when something gets delayed, we're like, man,
oh, we totally get it.
We're actually happy and take all the time you need. Yeah.
Just like, yep,
plenty
good.
To play.
Yeah.
That.
So yeah, but that's it for me. What about you, Ben?
I have played everything you guys have played. Mostly, the Destiny 2s, the Final Fantasy is, I honestly haven't really done a whole lot in Final Fantasy this week except for the Manderville Man questline, which continues to be hilarious. Jake, you really need to get on that one of these days. It is a lot of fun.
I already told you, as soon as I'm done with this expansion, that's the first thing I'm doing post-game.
What I did download and play was Fortnite. Yeah, you might remember this game.
Never heard of it.
From a year ago when at least Mike and I were absolutely addicted to it. Actually, a year ago, no. That was when we kind of quit. When did Black Ops 4 come out? That's about right now, right?
Yeah, October of 2018. So that was when we stopped playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to talk about what happened, right?
Yeah, I get I mean,
we should.
Might as well just talk about it now. Because I mean,
What happened?
Oh,
shut up.
Fortnite.
Well, you talk about Fortnite. Do you want to quickly run down what they did?
Is this in the news, Mike?
Before you jump in?
No, it's not in the news. Because I figured
we need to talk about this.
Well, okay, this will be news part one / Ben talking about Fortnite since you're the only one here that played it. So Fortnite, they did a season. I mean, season was it 12, 11? 11. 12?
Yeah.
11 or 12.
This is
ended game one.
So,
chapter two.
Yeah, this is
technically. What has been Fortnite's kind of thing recently is that the end of a season, some big event happens, and that kind of gives you a preview of what's coming for the next season. This, at the end of season, whatever it was, 10, 11, or 12, there was a big thing happened, and there was a black hole, and it sucked all of Fortnite into the black hole, and the game literally went offline for
2 days.
It was online, but it was
unplayable.
With a
Sunday, Monday came
unplayable.
Back Tuesday, right?
It was 36 hours, I believe. It was brilliant.
Almost 2 days, and like literally, there was at one point was like 500,000 people watching a stream of a black hole. Like
they were the top of Twitch.
There's still hundreds of thousands of people watching this.
It was an unplayable game. Was the top of Twitch.
Yeah, and just
the entire time it was unplayable. Like
it's amazing.
I'm not a Fortnite fan. Fucking like hats off,
for them,
man. That's
brilliant.
I will say so they sponsored some streamers to play and they didn't give them a heads up of what was going to happen, so the game went, I don't know if you've seen any of these videos, they're pretty spectacular, where it goes down, they're like, so I'm sponsored to guess to just sit here and watch. I mean it's good to get eyes on it. However, when they reversed it, specifically, well, Tim was the person that I heard about the most because, you know, he's so popular. He had, like, a countdown timer, or, like, somebody had a countdown timer of, like, when. So, obviously, they had told some people when it was coming back.
I think
it was
a rumor mill getting out of control or stuff leaked, but it was, like, people are, like, Tuesday morning? Like, Tuesday at, like, 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever. Like, everyone kept saying, like, that's when it's going to launch, so.
But there were people, like, literally ready to go, so
sure they leaked it out to, like, all the top, you know, your Ninja and Tim and all those big-time Fortnite guys. I'm sure they got at least a heads-up of, hey, it's going to be, like in this window. And, you know, those are the streams that are going to be garnering the most views.
That makes sense.
So
and the marketing's fucking
and
brilliant.
Now it is Fortnite Chapter 2, brand new map. Gameplay is still what it is. They added, now you can carry downed people, whether it's teammates or opponents. There's fishing.
Yeah, that's fun.
There's a swimming, like, diving mechanic.
Let's go back to this fishing.
Yeah, dive into the actual gameplay since you played it.
You're not fishing to find fish. You're fishing up weapons and stuff. So there's a point to the fishing. It's not like you're trying to catch real fish. You actually find fishing poles as loot drops, and it takes up an inventory slot, and you go to a river, what have you, and there's a little, you can see in the water where there's fishing spots along these rivers, and you can pop your line in and fish stuff up.
Is the loot randomized?
Yeah, just like before. I don't know what kind of loot drops come out of the river, though. I have not actually fished myself yet. Just haven't, like, dropped. A lot of people are in one of the, of course, the everyone's dropping to the named place, or the, at this point, the unnamed places because they're not cleared on your map. You have to visit every place on the map. Every, like, this first week, like, to open the map up to know where you're going and what's there. It's pretty crazy.
It seems
crazy.
Like there's a lot fewer named locations than where the game ended last time.
There's a lot of open space, but of course
that's how
Fortnite originally was. Yeah. It's just,
when you say unlock the map, do you mean defog it for yourself?
Yeah. So the very first drop you ever do in that game, the entire map is grayed and there's question marks for place name.
But that's named just areas. For your map specifically.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then once I've hit everywhere, my entire map will be open to me from the get-go. So I'm almost there. There's only a handful of places that I haven't been to on the map. There's landmarks all over the map, too. It's one of the challenges for the week is to unlock 10, I want to say 10 landmarks, but there's more landmarks. And that's just not named places. Those are just landmarks. It was nice to play with a whole mess of potatoes this week. I'm pretty potato-y myself because I haven't played in a year. But I know what I'm doing, and you can tell people know there's like people not building whatsoever.
Well, those are AI because they added bots to the game.
What?
Yes. They came out right with this as with the new, cause they added a new skill based matchmaking system as well. And with that, they added bots to the game. Depending on your skill, there may be a lot of bots in your game, and the higher you go, the less bots are in the game until there's no bots.
That doesn't make any sense. Why are they dropping 100 people and throwing bots in the game?
Because
are they dropping?
I think as far as the skill based matchmaking goes, they want to make it easier for newer and less skilled players to get grips with the game. Where as far as like people, I imagine people that
is
have
that
been
official.
Oh yeah, absolutely, it totally is. Mm-hmm. And
from who?
From
well,
Epic.
Who's your source?
From Epic. They talked about this before the season ended. They were like, "Next season, we're introducing bots." And
that's dumb.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
So I imagine if we would all kept playing and hadn't stopped playing the last 2 years, those people aren't seeing any bots because you obviously have the skill under your belt that you don't need to.
Yeah, my playtime isn't going to be the same as somebody else's
right.
playtime.
You haven't touched the game in over a year, regardless that we played a shitload of it. I think they realize it's like, okay, we're going to have a lot of returning players, a lot of brand new players. Let's ease them in. Rather than immediately having you go up against people that haven't stopped playing this for 2 years, and then we'll kick the shit out of you, and then you'll be like, well, fuck this game. I'm already, like, I'm so far behind. What's the point of me coming back? I'm just going to get destroyed every single match. So I get it. It's smart for them, for newer people, to get a grip on the game. But like I said.
Yeah, I can understand that. That makes sense then. Because what's great, too, is like the very first time you boot the game up, you get the little video. And as soon as, you know, the video cuts to a guy jumping out of the bus, it's you. You jumped into a match. So you've just been thrown into a match. And you're jumping. So
that's cool.
That is your immediate, like, introduction to the new chapter of Fortnite. There's a lot of new additions to leveling up. A lot of... I got metal, so I was doing duos with my brother last night, and I got 2 quick sniper kills. It was crazy. It was just like, bink, bink, headshot, headshot, dead, dead. It was great. Those were not potatoes. They were actual people, because they were running around building and doing crazy shit. I got a bunch of shit just started sprawling across my screen, which that's cool, but it's very annoying because I'm looking out for the next goddamn team to roll up on us.
The Call of Duty problem.
Very, very much so. So I got to find a way to turn that off. I hope there is a way, and I hope if there is not a way that they add a way. And just let me look at it at the end of the match. Just let me bring up a summary like Call of Duty has where I can see what I've done that game. Because it's really cool. I want to know if I've gotten 2 quick succession headshot kills with a sniper rifle. That's awesome to know that I did that. So you get XP medals as the match progresses. Unfortunately, again, when you hit those moments, it does, bruh, you got a medal. And it distracts the shit out of you, and you're still trying to find other people to kill. Um, like you mentioned, running around and picking up downed teammates is nice. They can grab you. Your enemies can grab you too and toss you around. So that kind of sucks. That's pretty much it. There's boats. They've gotten rid of all the other crazy.
Yeah. No more mechs.
Traversal no more mechs and whatever. Planes and
yeah.
Roly-poly balls and shopping carts and golf carts. Those are all gone. It's just boats for the water and even the river currents. They're swimming now. So when you go in deep parts of the river, you actually swim, but you're underwater. So that's nice. And there's a current. So as you go underwater, you can whip down a river current really quickly. So that's pretty nice. Other than that, that's pretty much it so far for Fortnite. It's been two quick nights on that one. I also did purchase a kitten this week, so that has taken up a lot of my time. He's very young, maybe 4 months old. He is a scrapper. He comes at you. I'm covered in scratches.
That'll happen with babies. I'm super excited for you, though.
What's yeah, his he's name? A lot of fun.
Tell everyone his name.
His name is Link. He has a sword for a tail and a shield on his forehead. I went with Link.
Caught me off guard there. I thought you were going with your other choice.
What was my other choice? I had a lot in my mind.
Cooper was the one. Right at the early onset of ownership.
I was thinking about it, but then like everyone has been calling him Lincoln his whole life, so Link just kind of fit.
Yeah.
In with that. I mean, he seriously has a shield on his forehead and a sword for a tail. And
yeah, that picture you sent was
very
even
sharp
more
claws. So yeah, I still need to purchase a water bottle to keep him off of things like myself and tabletops.
Like a sprayer?
Yeah, just a little spray bottle to say, hey, quit it. Can't get anything done. So he spends the evenings in the basement so I can have some me time.
Understandable.
But that is it for me, and let's talk about some news.
Yes, we teased another delay in the news this week, and unfortunately, yes, it is true. Another delay has befallen us. It is in the world of Fallout 76, the supposedly upcoming Wastelanders expansion, the one that was set to bring apart the new NPCs into the world of Fallout 76, has been delayed, unfortunately, until Q1 of 2020. And, of course, Bethesda came out, so the usual, you know, we need to... In order to make sure we give you the best content possible, yada, yada, blah, 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 you know. Typical delay business speak, which, I mean, we always say, you know, hey, whatever it takes to give you the best possible release. And especially with something like Fallout 76, where they can't afford to, like, fall on their face for, like, the thousandth time when it comes to this game. So it's understandable.
Was this something you were looking forward to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, once this is what they announced back at
E3.
Or no, I think it was
it's been a while.
And
BethesdaCon or whatever the hell it's called.
QuakeCon. But this was something they talked about. It was like a lot of people were looking forward to, especially now that the Battle Royale, which is still in the game, and that's still going on. But yeah, this is going to be delayed because this not only was going to bring the human NPCs, like this was a huge like story quest expansion like along with it. Obviously, it's 100% free. It's not a paid content or anything. But hey, you know, whatever it takes. Like, I'm fine with that. If this means a huge positive in the long run, that's more than okay. However,
For sure.
It seems to be that the other things set to come out this year are on track. First off being Private Worlds, and that's going to be coming next week. And it's exactly as it sounds. You'll be able to hop into a world with your friends and not have to worry about other people having any influence, whether it be positive or negative. They did say in the future you're going to be able to mod your worlds, which makes me think that these aren't going to necessarily be like just kind of like private matches, but potentially maybe like a persistent server you and your friends can connect to, which I think is a really awesome idea if it ends up being that.
That's
like,
pretty sweet.
That's pretty awesome if that ends up being what it is. And then finally, they did talk about their Atomic Shop, which is like their paid currency shop, and how they have been reevaluating it, and they say they're going to make some pretty big changes to the challenge system and how you acquire the paid currency without actually having to put money into the game. So it seems like they're going to be making some large changes. They didn't allude to anything specific as far as that, but those changes will be coming sometime in 2020. So yeah, Wastelanders not till next year. Unfortunately,
yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. Yeah, I'll give me some human NPCs, yeah. See where this goes.
Like I said, that's always been a really cool world to explore. So give me more story content and people to interact with that aren't other players, and I'm game. I'll check it out.
Maybe tighten up connectivity and
Some of that performance. Hopefully, that's still. I mean, like, we haven't checked that game out in God knows how long. So who knows? Like, maybe
I deleted it.
Yeah, I still have it installed. I still got the, so maybe one of these days I'll just hop in to kind of see what that game is in its current state. And yeah, Fallout 76. Next up, we have Riot Games, makers of League of Legends, coming out with a lot of big announcements. First off, being they're making a, I guess you can call it like a spinoff game of League of Legends called League of Legends Wild Rift, and it is coming to consoles and phones. It will be coming next year. I think I find it funny that, Jake, I believe you and I specifically talked about this game, League of Legends, being on a console, and they're like, no way they're ever going to do this. That would be crazy. And then sure enough,
yeah,
come within a couple days.
This whole,
like,
a lot of the stuff they announced was crazy.
So yeah, this was the main like announced dated project that they're going to be. So yeah, it's basically a not the one-to-one copy of League of Legends, but it's going to be the same type of gameplay and experience. But on, like I said, phones and PC, they're going to bring down the play time because it seems like 15 to 20 minute matches is what they're aiming for, whereas opposed to like regular League goes from like 30 minutes to up to an hour. So they kind of want to condense the experience, which I guess if you're going to have it on a phone is a smart thing to do. But along with this, they announced three different projects, Projects A, F, and L. So Project A is a hero shooter. Best way I can describe it is a somewhere between
is CSGO watch.
CSGO,
that's exactly
and
what it is.
CSGO with hero shooters and abilities. Very early in development, they even said like this doesn't have a date. They're going to talk about it more in 2020. I'm thinking maybe they'll be also only announced for PC currently. I'm thinking maybe there'll be like a alpha sometime in 2020, but don't expect this game anytime soon. Looks, I mean, like I said, it looks like CSGO with heroes, and it looks cool, and I hope it does come to consoles at some point.
CSGO?
Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike.
World Offensive.
Uh-huh, with heroes.
Mm-hmm.
It's CSGO Watch. It's yes. Counter-Strike and Overwatch, but it's funny because...
Siege?
No. It's, think of CSGO and the gun play... of CSGO and the exact look of CSGO, but with a cartoony Overwatch style hero system.
Yes, it's like people throwing up ability shooting. Like this guy conjured up a bunch of like kunais and threw them at another enemy. This other guy had like this big barrier wall that just shoot up. Another guy threw a bubble
apparently
over an opponent. It's a lot of it's like Overwatchy.
And apparently, a lot of the abilities are like support style abilities, so it's still CS:GO in the sense of you've got to be quick on the aim and the trigger
it seems like
and
gunplay
all that
is
stuff,
king, which is what I'm hoping this leans into more than just like whoever can throw out their abilities and everything, because that's always like I feel like this is a good middle ground for people that want a CS:GO experience but don't want the like the hardcoreness of what playing
I don't know,
CS:GO
man.
Is like.
I'm so bad at that. I would love to play CSGO, but I've played a couple games and reflexes are just not there against 10-year-olds. So it's like, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever jump into CSGO proper. That's why like maybe like a new experience where a lot of other people that are as bad as me will be playing at the same time. But so that's Project A. Project F is a fighting game in the League of Legends, quote unquote, universe. Again, nothing more to speak of until 2020, but I mean, it looks like a fighting game, but it's what it is. And then Project L, which is what they're calling just a straight up mystery game. They had a couple screenshots out there. It looks like an isometric, third person adventure game, maybe. Who knows? This one was just like they were the most tight-lipped about, and they'll be like, "Hey, we'll talk about it more next year." And that's that. But hey, that's big coming out of Riot, who has been known for literally one game, and now like, hey, we're working on three vastly different types of projects right now. So that's smart of them to diversify, because I mean, League's not going to be the biggest game in the world forever. I mean, someday it's going to fall from that, like, top spot. I mean, kind of already has thanks to Fortnite, but even in, like, that top three, like, its day will come sooner or later where people aren't going to really care about League of Legends anymore. So it's cool to see them diversifying and trying out new shit. And I hope they all come to consoles, because they all seem very promising. Next up, we have a date very close to release for Google Stadia. I was even surprised to know this didn't have a firm release date yet. November 19th. They did state November, but we have
this year?
Yes, November 19th, so about a month away, and we'll get to see Google Stadia in action. Obviously, as of right now, until next year, you have to own the Founders. You can pre-order the Founders Edition. I think it's like $150. And that gets you a Chromecast, the Stadia controller, a 2 or 3 month subscription to Google Stadia. But it's not going to have the full anyone can just fire it up access until next year. So pre-order if you want to play Stadia now. Otherwise, you'll have to wait until 2020 in order to get access to Stadia. I'll check it out once I can not have to pay any money for it. Or at least I don't have to buy all this other crap for it, because I'm not sold on a streaming service as of yet, and I don't need a streaming service right now in my life anyways. I got plenty of other options to play video games that keep me occupied, so this is cool. I'll be curious to see what the impressions are. From all the tests, they seemed positive overall, so we'll see once the final product is out what people think of it. Are you, like, interested in any of this, Ben? Or is this just, like, I don't care?
We'll see. I mean, I'm interested in the tech, because that seems the way
Agreed.
Places want to go, which worries me, because a lot of ISPs have data caps, like my ISP. So
yeah, that's a legitimate problem. And just straight up, just, like, speed alone. Like, not everywhere has fiber and
good
or just
internet.
A good internet source. It's just a lot of this country.
My
still,
internet is
like,
good or it's bad. It's really weird.
Yeah. Barely broadband is what you could describe as like a lot of the infrastructure of this country. So this is like probably a non-starter for most of those people. So yeah.
This is like kind of when you're a kid and the one rich kid in the neighborhood had Neo Geo. That's what this kind of feels like.
Yeah, basically. Or you're like the first person to get like broadband internet while everyone else was still on 56K. But yeah, we shall wait and see. Only a month away to Google Stadia. Our final news story this week comes out of the world of Modern Warfare. And surprisingly, it is a positive news story. Activision has come out and said firmly, there will be no loot boxes or supply drops in Call of Duty Modern Warfare ever in any way, shape, or form, period. Instead, they are taking the Battle Pass route, which is obviously taking the world by storm thanks to things like Fortnite and PUBG and Dota and everything else now. It seems like
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Red Dead, Battlefront, Rocket League.
Destiny 2,
yeah. Battle passes
everybody's got fucking battle pass. I'm sure like Madden and NHL and
next year
MLB The Show we're gonna get battle passes soon.
I wouldn't be surprised. They call it like the Madden pass for Madden PS5. But yes. So they're going to have as they did with Black Ops 4, Battle Pass was introduced into the Call of Duty series from there. There's going to be a free and premium tier, as there is with a lot of these battle passes these days. And they did say that you will be able to earn COD points, which is their paid currency, through the battle passes. So they're kind of adopting a model that things like Fortnite and Rocket League had, where theoretically, if you're, cautious with your money, if you buy one battle pass, you'll be able to chain battle passes infinitely and just kind of earn the currency to buy the next one and so on and so on and so on and so forth. So that's a really huge plus. I mean, in all honesty, that makes me slightly more interested in this game, period, because the trajectory of the last few Call of Duties has been, hey, at the launch, there's nothing of the sort. A few months in, we start just beating you over the head with microtransactions, and then it turns into, hey, we locked all these weapons behind loot boxes, and good luck ever getting them unless you sink thousands of dollars into this game. And even then, it's still random chance of you acquiring these. So it's nice to see them get ahead of that, all the bad press, which they deserved over the last few years. I mean, Black Ops 4 was just so egregious with its loot boxes.
It got pretty ugly.
Yeah,
really
it was
quick for them.
So yeah, that combined with, you know, them not doing this season pass anymore, just having all the maps and everything just be free content, is refreshing to see Call of Duty do. Like, everyone was expecting them to like double down on loot boxes once they announced there was not going to be a season pass, and none of us would have been surprised. But for them to come out and say this is just like, wow, okay, they mean it, which means they're going to double down on cosmetics, which honestly I don't give a shit because they're cosmetics, so who cares? If people want to buy $20 skins, go for it. I did plenty of that in Fortnite, and so I have no problem supporting.
I'm always open to
Throwing
a couple bucks at them to make me look fresh.
Yeah, if I'm playing the game and loving it and there's a cool skin that I want, I don't have problems or complaints about dropping money on skins. That's fair. I'd say that's fair game overall.
Well, we all, that one night, we all bought that shark skin together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. The Fortnite.
Squad.
Yeah, I think we all admit we've probably easily spent over $100 on Fortnite, and that's all
absolutely
cosmetics. All cosmetics.
Yeah,
100%. And I don't regret it because I played 500 hours of Fortnite, even though it's free game. If I would have paid
a week,
yeah, and even though it's a free game, like if I would have paid $60 for it, I still wouldn't have felt bad about that because I invested a bunch of time in that game. I don't mind spending money on games I invest that much time in. So there you go. That's Call of Duty. Big, big, huge plus. And
we'll see if they hang on to that. That's, good for them. I'm still not interested in the game after the beta.
I don't
know.
Cool. That's it's things like this where why I say I'm never officially writing off not getting a Call of Duty, because now I'm just like,
I'm not going to.
This is the thing that's selling you. You do not get this game.
Yeah. Again, this falls into the, I don't have Doom to buy now. I don't have my shooter fix.
But you got Destiny 2.
Yeah,
you just talked about how that's your
Crucible
shooter fix, man.
Crucible sucks. We all know that. Crucible's still terrible. It's still not fun.
Yeah,
Gambit's the only remotely fun thing about Crucible, and even the parts where you have to fight other people are still terrible. Like, I will never defend Crucible. I mean, funny enough, Iron Banner's this week in Destiny 2. I'm like, ha, good one, game. Nice try. I ain't firing that up for a second. I know how terrible Iron Banner is. So, yeah, the Destiny will not feed my competitive shooter fix whatsoever. So, you never know. We'll see when next Friday comes.
We still have Overwatch to kick around.
Yeah. I go back and forth with Overwatch. We'll see.
I like Overwatch. It's fun.
I will be watching a lot of streams very closely come next Friday for Modern Warfare's release, and we'll see how my mood is. That could be a very impulse purchase.
The Ground War was such a heartbreaker.
Oh, yeah. That was, whew, yikes. Yeah.
Just like when you said I'm going to watch some streams, then I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. Ground War.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That will be the mode I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I can skip this.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, let's just fire up Black Ops 4 and play that for a competitive multiplayer.
I don't know. We'll see. I always get stuck.
See, that's the thing. We still have COD.
Yeah.
We still have Black Ops 4.
Yeah, but the multiplayer on that one's not that good either.
That's the same as every other game.
I love how you say either, anticipating that this is going to suck too. You're going to spend money on it. What's the point?
Yeah, you know me. I always get sucked into this Call of Duty shit. That's just how I am.
You know you. That's why I'm not. That's why I'm blown away that you're not already buying Death Stranding day one, but you're willing to buy COD.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, I remember last year, I wasn't getting Black Ops, and all you guys are like, yeah, I might not either. And then the day before, you're all like, yeah, I'm getting it tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to get it.
That's how.
And I get home from work, and everyone's already playing it. I'm like,
there were two factors
assholes.
To that. Hang on. There were two factors to that. One, we all wanted a BR that we could play on console together. Blackout was
the
selling
factor. Blackout was
the selling.
Fortnite was there.
You guys played Fortnite, but we wanted a more. Also, this one was good. Yeah, exactly. And two, yes, it was the night before that we all bought it. However, after that beta, which we all agreed was incredible, we all were kind of leaning towards getting it anyway at that point.
I wasn't.
Well, you're the outlier. This time, everybody, look, Blackout was the reason we bought it. That I don't
absolutely.
I don't need another COD for 10 years unless they innovate something. Like, honestly, and COD usually stays pretty active. Like, older games stay active for a little while at least. So if I honestly want to play something competitive, well, I'll play Rainbow. But if I want to play Arcady, we're good with Black Ops 4. We don't need any new ones.
Yeah, I mean,
dying to play that new campaign.
Right, that's like I said. I could easily be swayed one way or another. I might just be like, you know what, fuck it. Maybe I'll just re-download Modern Warfare Remastered or something like that to get my fix. But we'll see. Like I said, I'll be watching a lot very closely.
There you go.
I'll be watching a lot of the coverage of that game come next week.
I've got 14 to get through still, and then I've still got Judgment.
All of y'all for totally passing on
Resident Evil 2 sitting over here unplayed. And
oh yeah, you definitely need.
Wait, you have that?
Yeah, Andy borrowed it too. Yeah, touched.
Oh, nice.
Because of Final Fantasy.
Well, take a break.
I got too much.
Yeah, you got plenty.
I don't want it, though. It's so good.
Don't start that next expansion yet. Play Resident Evil 2 first.
I got to, because then Brandon and Jake will get ahead of me.
Oh, you're far enough ahead.
You can play two games at once.
You can play Resident Evil 2 in a week. You'll be done with it in a week.
You can play through in a weekend. Are you kidding? Weekend. Well, it depends how much you want to play,
but a
single playthrough is going to take you a couple days.
Easy. Like, you can breeze through that.
I will definitely play through on easy.
Then, yeah, you can.
And you watched us play some of it.
Yeah, you can breeze through both campaigns.
I've seen enough
weekend.
Streams. I get the gist of it.
That
just
too.
Keep moving. Yeah. Simple.
Yeah. Keep moving. Shoot the guy with the hat. So that will wrap up our news for this week, and it's going to take us into our bonus round. Before we started the show, we talked a lot about food, like a disturbing amount about food, as it seems to be a lot of our weird.
We started recording probably 20 minutes late
because
these guys wouldn't stop talking about food.
I want to refine the, because I just threw out that topic. So the question is, if you could have, and you could have a meal, like it's not just a single item. You can have a meal. If you were stuck on like a deserted island or the typical trope or whatever, what's one meal that you'd pick that you'd never, well, eventually you'd have to get sick of everything, but what's the one meal that you'd pick that you could just be like, yeah, I can eat that.
Like every
it can be a meal. It can be an item. Yeah.
Essentially. See,
it's tough.
My mind, in all honesty, the first thing that came to my mind, Taco Bell chicken quesadilla. Was the first thing that popped in my mind.
Then, I mean,
and I
that would be really tough to get sick of. Yeah, because it would be. It has a little bit of everything. It has meat, it has cheese, and it has bread.
It would either be
the only
that
thing you're missing
pizza.
Is sweet.
It would either be that or pizza.
Yeah. Mine would probably be some sort of pasta.
Yeah, I'm not a huge pasta person, so that's why that doesn't even like register for me. I enjoy it, but I don't love it.
Well, there's just so many varieties. That's why, like, any type, I couldn't pinpoint a style at the moment, but, like, pasta or the quesadillas that you put in my mind were really, really good. I'll go a different direction, and I'll go with a doner kebab, which is essentially, for Americans, it's a gyro.
Oh.
But a doner kebab
I've heard of doner.
Doner kebabs are the Turkish gyro, so it's, like, a legitimate gyro. Think about the best gyro you've had and multiply it by like a million. I would say a gyro with Turkish tea would probably be my go-to.
Gyro or two in my day.
Well, they're really, really good. That or some sort of pasta dish. Yeah. What about you, Ben?
That's very tough. I like a lot of food.
We all love food. It's just tough to pinpoint one thing.
Pizza's pretty standard. I mean, I'm sure I could eat pizza.
Really?
For a while.
And for me, I wouldn't even need to change it up. My change up would be like pepperoni and cheese. Like, I don't do the, much of the fancy pizzas. Like, I'm very meat based with my pizza. Like, I could just switch off.
But I feel like pizza would just the heaviness of it, I think, would get to me.
Just don't eat a lot of it.
I don't know. Even having a slice on days you like didn't feel well or something, if you had to have a heavy slice of pizza, that's why I feel like with pasta, you can either make it heavy or make it lighter. Same thing with gyros. They're not super heavy, but they have meat and stuff in it.
Yeah, I was thinking like cheese, like a good cheeseburger, you know, like a Five Ooh. Guys or something. Or
yeah.
Specifically I'll be good. Five Guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like burgers go,
Five Guys is not a bad
really
choice.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I've had better burgers from around, but they're, as far as what most people will, anybody listening is going to understand, Five Guys is one of my favorites.
Are one of the best sit down like franchise burger. I would say is it the best franchise burger you can get? I would say
Five
so.
Guys?
In and Out.
Yeah.
In and Out I think is better, but
disagree.
Oh, Mike's got opinions on
disagree.
That.
Disagree. My Vegas trip confirmed
where
that. I had it in Vegas.
Well, you had it in Vegas. Yeah, that's
hey, I mean
I've never had them, but I've always wanted to try them.
They're good.
It's not better than Five Guys, but it was a good burger.
Well, it's different because with In-N-Out, it's a single style. You're not like customizing stuff. It's just like, okay, you're getting this and either animal style or not. Like, so with Five Guys, you can literally make it from the ground up. So
I mean,
you have
my
a lot
burger
more
is
variety.
Pretty traditional when I go to Five Guys. I don't go.
That's fair. Five Guys is good though. They are very very solid burgers.
Oh yeah, and the other one I was thinking of too, and it. I don't think it gets much love, but some sort of fried rice with vegetables and a choice of
yeah,
meat.
Yeah, like a Chinese fried rice dish. That would be really good. That would have everything you
there.
Need,
it's
too.
It's a good balance to everything.
That's actually a really, like pork fried rice or something. Ooh, that might be a good
Damn.
Dish to have. I'm so happy I'm eating dinner after this.
Okay.
I know. I'm
starving.
Like...
Bonus round, bonus question. What is your one drink? And water counts as a drink.
It would have to be something besides water because I need something with flavor in it.
I mean,
probably be some sort of juice.
Really like water. I don't know. Some people
probably
water's.
I would go
great.
Water is great. I would go with cranberry juice.
Interesting. Wow. Me, I'm going like full vanilla Coke. Yeah, it's vanilla Coke.
That's fair.
If I can only have one drink the rest of my life, it's vanilla Coke, for sure.
Ah, this is so tough. I'm either going with Mountain Dew or Barks Root Beer.
Yeah, Mountain Dew.
Ooh, damn, I hadn't had a Barks in forever.
That, yeah, still the best root beer I've ever
They
had.
Are really good. That's Mug.
Go-tos.
Mug is pretty good, too.
Fuck, what's that one? I think it's called Stubborn. I've only seen it at Jersey Mike's. It's very good. I think
never
it,
heard of that.
It gives
Are
it
they
gives
like
Barks a
a
run for its. It's a little sweeter, but it's very huh. good. It gives I would say it gives Barks a run for its money.
I've
all,
Jersey
Mike's
I've then,
only
just to
seen
check
it
the
at
soda
Jersey Mike's
out.
So far, but it is delicious. They also have a cream soda, which I imagine is also very good, but I haven't tried it. But yeah, Mountain Dew also popped in my head as that's
yeah.
I mean, can never go
any
wrong.
Any variety of Mountain Dew really. Yeah. Well, of the two main the. Either Code Red or traditional Mountain Dew.
If I was going to go down the same road as you guys and have to pick a soda, I would pick Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Man, Pepper's on my list, too. It's probably my number three.
It's my favorite soda when I was still drinking soda. I can imagine if I went back and drank one now, I would feel like my teeth were going to fall out immediately.
I had a Dr. Pepper on Monday. That's funny.
I can't remember the last time I had one.
My soda is comprised of diet ginger ale, which I don't consider it a soda, but I guess because it's carbonated,
That's
people consider
a
it a soda. Right. And yeah. then the other thing, which I've been hooked on for a couple years now, Mike, you and I have talked about this multiple times, is those ice, the what are they called? The ice drinks.
Sparkling
ice. Sparkling
Slushies.
Ice. Yeah. Oh. Sparkling ice. It's essentially flavored sparkling water, but like
very
flavored to the point of it does taste like you're drinking
it's
a soda.
Like those fucking LaCroix. It actually has like
yeah. Oh god, those
it.
Are so bitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're good. So yeah, between that and Dr. Pepper would be my two go-tos for soda.
There was one, and I'm trying to like look it up here real quick because I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but my grandma used to get it all the time. And
a drink or a soda?
It's like a sparkling soda or sparkling water flavored.
Was it Shasta?
Oh my God, I can't. Oh, clearly Canadians. That's what they were. Okay.
Because my grandmother drank Shasta.
Yeah, I don't know if they're. Oh, I guess they are still around because I can buy them at the moment.
All right, since we're doing this bonus round, what's the one dessert? What's the one dessert item you'd have? Man.
Shit.
I know what I'd want, but I'd be way too. It would have to be like a Jetson style. It's already made for you. I would go with creme brulee.
Oh, fancy! I'm not.
Dude, creme brulee is fucking amazing. I love making creme brulee at home because like, you blowtorch that shit.
Honestly, for me, it's going to be some sort of candy. I'm not a huge pastry person. Or if it had to be a pastry, it'd probably be like a donut. But it's probably
sure.
Like candy. Honestly, it's like candy.
Maybe all right, fine. Like so we'll do can in honor of how well
it's your dessert, whatever the fuck you want.
No, okay, fine. We're gonna do top candies again this year. Oh, we should compare it to last year without. Well, we shouldn't even revisit last year. We should just do it and then
Yeah,
I thought we do it every year, but we should compare it after we do it, not even look back.
Well, mine hasn't changed.
Yeah, I would go with pastry. Creme brulee. What would be yours? No. It doesn't have to be pastry. You're right. Dessert. So what would you go? You said you'd go candy, probably.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what candy. Best Starburst or Skittles, maybe? Maybe Skittles.
Yeah, I mean, those are always the best. Yeah.
Or, you know what? Probably a Milky Way.
Ooh, that's got a little bit of everything, too.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
I like the dark chocolate ones. Those are good.
Mm. Yeah, the Midnights. Yeah, those are really good. I'm so glad Halloween's coming.
I know I've been fucking gorging on candy this month, and I feel so gross. But also,
I need to
great.
Buy some. What about you, Ben?
So my grandma made this chocolate banana pie for Thanksgiving
good.
And Christmas and whatnot. It was like this, like a chocolate pudding kind of.
So it's like a custard. It was like a cream pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are so... Oh, my God, those are good.
Oh, hers was ridiculous. And just some whipped cream on top. Oh, my goodness. God.
Oh,
or simply a Buckeye.
Oh.
What's that?
Buckeye Ohio is favorite. A peanut... Yeah, it's a butter... It's a peanut butter, like, ball. It's essentially
you
take
have, you've
peanut
sold me
butter...
Already.
It's peanut butter, powdered sugar, butter, vanilla. You mix all that together, and then you form little balls, and you dip them in
dip
chocolate.
That shit in chocolate.
And they look like a buckeye nut.
Yep.
That sounds really good. I'm in.
They are
very tasty.
Awesome.
Gimme. Is that like you said it's an Ohio thing?
Yeah, because they're buckeye. They look like buckeye nuts. Yeah.
So right.
Yeah, I make them, I'm lazy, so what I do is I take that peanut butter and I just mash it, I just level it out in a pan, and then I pour the chocolate on top and spread it out, and then I just cut them into bars.
Yeah, you really make shortcut Buckeyes very easily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I tried it one time I tried making them, and it took forever to make those fucking little balls.
Make them proper,
I'm
going to
do a bunch of cooking this weekend. I'm going to do a bunch of cooking this weekend. I'm fucking starving now.
See,
let's wrap this shit up before I fucking
end.
Drool all over my goddamn equipment.
Order a second dinner.
I'll go dinner. But,
seriously.
That is going to do it for this week's episode. Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at FetTheAssassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive, on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. You can also go to our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, on Spotify, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask, go and write us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
See ya.
Bye.